Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing. There are some rain chances reappearing in the 10-day forecast, Tom. But that
a curtain call for the monsoon.
A curtain call for the monsoon. It sure doesn't seem like we're going to get much more monsoon moisture, but who knows? The Buckmaster Show welcoming you on this Friday. It's September the 6th. 2024. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're part of the Bustos Media Company. We've got five radio stations under one roof. Our latest acquisition, The Drive, doing very well, 101.7. But this station's 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and we are Tucson's only source for live local news and talk on the radio. In January, we'll begin our 15th year with the radio program and our 37th year in the Tucson broadcasting scene. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews, and we open now the live line. Anyone can call, make a comment, ask a question. The number is 790-2040. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, a couple of media partner shout-outs, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith and his team have been very supportive since we launched the radio program, and certainly Dan Shear and the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan's been such a great partner to this program. He has helped me out, and actually he helped me out on my TV show on Arizona Illustrated for years. And Dan not only has his role with the two newspapers locally, but he oversees as kind of the editorial director for nearly three dozen newspapers in 13 states owned by his company, the company that he works for. Doesn't own it.
Sierra Vista-based
WIC Communications. Dan, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Bill. You make it look easy. I'll just say that.
Well, it's been a great run, and I still enjoy doing it, and I believe I'm making an impact still in the community. Mm-hmm. That's why I get up every morning and come to work. Our Friday Focus interview, Laura Conover, reelected to a second four-year term on July 30th. This is her first visit to the program since the election, so I want to extend my congratulations, Laura. Good to see you. And also, congratulations and also the condolences for the loss of your mother. I'm very sorry.
I appreciate that, Bill. It's good to be back, and thank you for the warm congratulations and the condolences as well. The community has been very gracious about it. It's certainly not just me. My brother, Sergeant Jason Winsky, over at the Tucson Police Department, the department's been really great there as well. She was one heck of a woman, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I wish you the very best on this path that I know so well.
Yep.
You'll be embarking on that grief journey, and I do wish you all the best. I have been in town a while, as I pointed out, 36, 37 years. I've never seen a nastier primary election in Pima County than the one you endured.
Right, and my whole life here, 40 plus years now, here as well. And, you know, as a student of political science, right, and who wanted to go to law school, you know, I certainly followed it as well, did my time in volunteering. And it took a while to realize why this was maybe the most difficult and ugliest from the other side primary, you know, in decades. And it was because part of it was that we were having a general election in a primary. You know, I think my opponent that night, you know, finally said he probably doesn't agree with the philosophies of the Democratic Party. And I think the voters, you know, understood that. But also, I think it was just very, I think it was also very ugly because, unfortunately, you know, the previous administration continued to want to really go back to the way things were. And the question before the community was whether they would want to go back or whether they would want to continue progress forward. And I'm very, very grateful for the vote of confidence in our policies and in the results we're starting to get. It's a time of optimism.
Your predecessor, Barbara LaWall, she was in the office for nearly a quarter of a century. Barbara and her disciples, the people that that believe in the culture that she put forth in her office, and before that it was Steve Neely. Barbara was a disciple of Steve Neely's administration. These people, and I think it's safe to say, they never believed in you from day one.
Well, it's not just that they never believed in me. They never met me. I've never met Steve Neely. You know, he's written a lot of things. I've never sat down with Barbara in person. We had a couple of brief phone calls.
Never met her?
No. And she said that on the radio herself recently during the campaign, that, you know, she said something about Ms. Conover seems like a nice person. I don't know. I've never met her. And you know, I had really worked to try to be really gracious and at the very beginning in 2021. And we had our hands full keeping the criminal justice system going in the middle of the pandemic. And so I didn't complain. I didn't complain about the lack of transition and the undermining. And you know, I tried not to. I tried to stay focused on the task at hand. And I was sorry to see them wait 4 years and make another run at it. What I've said is, look, public safety is not a game. Some people treat politics as a game, but this is the public safety system, and there ought to be boundaries that you don't cross when you are undermining, you know, when you are putting out misinformation. I mean, when you're just blatantly lying and you're undermining the faith of the community in their top law enforcement officers. Again, I think the community just wasn't having it.
Here's Dan Scheer.
One of the good things that came out of the primary is that you were out there talking to an awful lot of voters. What were you hearing, and did any of what you heard affect the way that you are going to move forward?
I really appreciate that question, Dan, because we did work very, very hard. We knocked on a lot of doors and made a lot of calls, and I actually live and breathe by that because it keeps me so informed and on the ground and listening to the concerns. And what I'm doing now is I'm taking very, very seriously certain patterns that emerged from what I heard, from concerns. And we're going to do a really intensive analysis of the whole agency, you know, a complete evaluation from top to bottom to make sure that we are finding the areas where we need to improve services. You know, taking a really honest stock of things. I think that's part of the process. Even though I've been reelected, I think it's healthy for us to really take a deep dive. I'm looking at trying to bring in an evaluator from outside to take a look in and do a bunch of interviews. And, you know, for example, right now, we're going to do another huge 2-year inventory of all of our domestic violence cases. Go back and look at every single one that we determined had to proceed as a misdemeanor rather than a felony, and double check. It's like quality control. We did it 2 years ago, and we were pleased with the results. But we need to do it again. We need to do it again. I think it's a clear request by the community and a fair request, and one that we take extremely seriously, especially as we continue in this very difficult domestic violence spike.
To that end, we have all the domestic violence cases, I'm sitting here looking at them all, that we received a report from your office. Unfortunately, before you got in, we discovered nobody keeps these numbers. So I don't know if your numbers are, you know, one way or the other, but let me just give you, like, for 2023, the completed year, there was 1,485 cases presented as felony DV. And about 550 cases refused. That means that you looked at the case and said, yeah, there's just nothing here. Is that accurate?
You know, I mean, so I'll do what I did throughout the campaign and said, I would love to please look at the list you're looking at so I can go to my subject matter experts and make sure we're using the right vocabulary. But yes, I believe... and I'll be double checking this, but I believe that refused is a myriad of things: lack of evidence, no witnesses, the complaining party refusing to participate, you know, especially when it comes to domestic violence. These are very, very difficult cases.
So you,
I will just say briefly, though, as well, we also need to remember, because this is always very, very surprising for people, the national charging rate floats at around 50%. And that kind of blows people's minds, that 50% of what law enforcement brings into DA's offices across the nation does not proceed to a prosecution. That's the normal check and balance. Their the law enforcement standard is probable cause, and it's to, and for a good reason. If they see harm, we want them to interrupt quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Like intervene quickly. Our standard is a substantial likelihood of conviction in front of a jury after far more evidence is collected, after witnesses are interviewed, after camera, you know, film is collected, often forensic evidence like DNA. You know, there's such a huge process that happens thereafter. And so it's not surprising that only half moves forward.
Do you have a philosophy when it comes to DV cases? For example, I know you have said that you will not seek the death penalty, so that is just something that is a conviction of yours. But do you have any philosophy on DV cases? Because we kept hearing it come up, but again, without being able to compare it to previous numbers, I'm kind of at a loss here.
Well, one example I can point out very clearly is that, you know, early on we had a TV news series, and it, you know, it was reported that, you know, our current DV policies were atrocious, or whatever word the former administration used, and then we were able to prove that it was literally the policy he had written himself. So it was. So we were still right. We were still using the exact same plea guidelines in domestic violence that the previous administration was using, and that should come as no surprise, right? Because criminal justice reform is often about reprioritizing precious limited resources away from nonviolent, victimless substance use disorder and mental health, so that violent crime units and victim units are better staffed and resourced to go after those who would cause harm in our community.
Let me go back to something I heard you say, that 50%, half of the cases are not that don't come to fruition, or they don't move forward, that are presented to you. Because during the campaign, it made it sound like, oh, Laura Conover, she's so soft on crime, cases come before her, they're thrown out, or she doesn't pursue them. This is the first I've heard about this 50%.
Right, and I do want to be clear that, of course, when you're talking about averages, you know, we dig deeper than that, mm-hmm. and different kinds of crime are going to have different charging rates, but it all settles nationwide at around that 50% mark. And again, you know, again, for all good reasons, you don't indict someone with a felony, which often lives forever. And you don't take someone to trial in front of a felony jury here in Pima County, unless you're convinced that you have a substantial likelihood of conviction. That's the hallmark of fairness that drives our entire American criminal justice system.
Can you define the term restorable justice and why you think it works? Restorative?
Restorative. Yeah. Thank you, Dan. restorative justice. Yes.
Thought I was throwing a new one.
I know. I'm going to have to do some research.
Sorry about that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, so my favorite question, and tis.
Do you want to, if this is a long answer, against the break. Why don't we begin with that after we take the break? Laura Conover, our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer is here. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday, and we'll hear Laura's definition of restorative justice right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, the newly elected to another four-year term, her second four-year term, Laura Conover. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, let's pick it up with you. It was your original question.
Okay.
I'd ask so I'm going to make you say it again.
I'll say it right this time. Define restorative justice and tell us why you think that works.
So very simply put, to sort of oversimplify it, cultures have been using it since time immemorial as a way to handle crime and dispute in the community, to restore the victim to as nearly whole as possible. It's very, and our model of this is very, very victim-centric. What that means for the system is that you are seeking out cases that are appropriate. We're piloting it right now and very cautiously, of course. That's always kind of my approach. Where a victim is empowered to choose the restorative justice process, which gets them resolution much quicker and hopefully in a much more holistic way. The accused has to really fully come to the table and take full personal account. And we're talking about in a circle of highly trained, certified mediators, very, very different from the system where the defendant is protected and shielded and never has to speak and never you know, necessarily takes account for anything, you know, from their being. So in places across the country that have been using this for years now in other DA's offices, the results are wonderful. It's a very high percentage of people who never come back into the system again because they have truly taken account for the harm they've caused and worked very hard under an agreement to make it right again to the best of their ability. It's been very hard to educate on. We're really excited to continue working with our partners at Fresh Start, Dr. Damon Holt. There will be the fourth huge Fresh Start Expo on October 21 in TCC, where people coming back from prison are reentering society, and it's a massive expo for that, and we use those practices there. But we've got our first early success cases, and once we start putting faces on it and we are able to storytell about how people went through the process successfully, then we're really going to hit the ground running in getting people to understand what we're trying to do.
Could you kind of give us an example?
Yeah. So because it's so tender, I'm going
to. You don't have to use any names,
right,
or
no,
anything, but just like
I'm going to use that California case.
Okay.
A young mom with a baby chose restorative justice.
Okay.
After her house was broken into mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, and
okay.
she was scared. Dad was deployed.
Okay.
She's scared to death, right? And she thinks like she's been targeted. She's been chosen. She chooses restorative justice, and it's the college kid in the college town, 19 years old, first time partying with alcohol, blitzed out of his mind, and he thought he was at his brand new rental one street over. He had not targeted anything. It empowered her. She didn't have that fear anymore that she had been deliberately chosen because she was alone with the baby. She sees the kid. He's explaining his poor choices in detail. He's crying. There's mediators in the room. And, you know, and she realizes he was looking at a felony and removal from the university and, you know, and the end mm-hmm. of his life mm-hmm. Over a very, very poor choice, very mm-hmm. poor choice. Mm-hmm. But she came away totally empowered. And they made an agreement together about how he was going to like replant the flowers that he stepped on in the yard, mm-hmm. stumbling around, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Those are the kinds of success
okay.
stories.
All right, Dan?
Well, he made more than a poor choice. He committed a crime. And so we can't forget that. And I think what you just described there, a lot of people I know would be on board with it. However, let me throw a curveball at you, and that would be when you're talking about drug-addicted people. Now, these are the folks who are living on the streets or throwing bricks through windows to steal things to get more drugs. They're defecating on sidewalks. And I know that you have recently talked about violent crime, your think tank approach to dealing with some of this. And so what do you say to those victims?
Right.
Because it is really hard to get a drug addict to go straight. It's very difficult.
So backing up just a step, the reason why restorative justice, and certainly in the model we're using, is so successful is that the victim chooses it. So they have chosen the program, right? They have complete veto power. They want to stay in the court system, completely fine. Then once they've made the choice, they choose how to participate. They want to be fully in the room and ask the person questions and look them in the eye and make them hold them to account. They've got that, or they've got all the way to you victim advocate, go into the room and I don't even want to ever hear about this ever again. You guys fix this and leave me alone so I can go on with my, you know, you have the whole range of how you participate. And so it's very empowering. For a person who's gone through a criminal incident and is a victim of a harm. Now, shifting to what you're talking about, Dan, we have had businesses already choose to engage, small businesses generally, and that's been wonderful. We welcome that, and certainly, we're gonna have businesses that don't choose to engage. What we need to be doing in the realm of neighborhood crime, I call it like the quality of our neighborhoods, our streets, our small businesses, our corners, is we have to continue the metro approach that we have started to engage in, and going after those who cause harm and holding them accountable, and then moving as many people as we can into heavy duty treatment, which is often dual diagnosis. You know, there's substance use disorder and mental health on board. And you're absolutely right, Dan, these are really, really, really difficult cases, but you pour resources into one person who is causing 200, 300, sometimes even 400 law enforcement contacts a year. So you can have big impact with what we're doing with those who are really, really struggling.
I think I've thrown this stat out on Bill's show before, but as you know, I was just serving on a grand jury. We heard over 500 cases, and I would guess 75 to 80% in one way or another are tied to illegal drug use. And it wasn't, they were either arrested for using drugs or committing some act to obtain drugs. Very frustrating, and I know that it is not a simple solution to this, and that you can only deal with so much.
I don't doubt that kind of rough stat at all. I could tell you that every Monday in homicide panel, drugs are coming up in some form or fashion, in about 80% of those as well, and so it's. What a fascinating experience you've had, and we'll have to talk more. Mm. What I like to see is the all hands on deck metro approach that we are engaging in, where you've got city and county working together, you've got law enforcement, but you also have county public health at the table. And this is a first here for our county, right? You know, that in previous eras, heroin, crack, meth. The community was used to a sweeping of the streets and jailing everyone, and that was the most expensive. And then they came right back into our community, worse off than they were when they started it. And then moving into higher level property crime, and it's just a vicious cycle. And we're trying to do different for the first time. And we're seeing small steps. We need to continue to keep our foot on the gas here. The open-air homeless population is slowly ticking down. The overdose rate is markedly ticking down. We can see that. And so we are starting to finally see a little bit of payoff in the incredible hard work that thousands of professionals are engaged in across the region.
Dan, do you want to stick with this, or can I switch gears here?
I have a kind of a related, and we've talked about it before, that Green Valley Justice Court, and you support it, has DUI Treatment Court, and this is working, where they have they will reduce the charge if the person goes through a lot of steps, and it involves they have to regularly appear before the judge, meet with a licensed counselor, AA meetings, et cetera, et cetera. We have seen great success on this. You're right. It's pouring a lot of resources into somebody. Can we expand this?
It is. And I do, credit where credit is due. This was very driven by the court. And so I all kudos to Judge Carroll and his whole team out there in Green Valley. And yes, we've been happy to support. I got to go out to the one of the first graduations, and they had all 12 participants there, because that's part of it. It's very, very intensive. But, you know, there are arguments to be made that alcohol, we're in a difficult fentanyl era right now, but alcohol remains, one of the deadliest when it comes to our streets challenges that we're having. It's remained that way. And so when you think about pouring resources into someone and they're barely recognizable 2 years later, it's extraordinary. But if they're driving our streets and in Green Valley, all over our highways, right, back and forth, potentially from Tucson to Green Valley, what a great payoff, because that's a lot of risk. And then a lot of payoff to get that risk off the road.
You talked about every Monday morning there is something called the homicide panel that you and your colleagues get together, and you talk about what's going on in that very important part of what you do. Are you seeing any drops in the number of cases?
Yes, that certainly for us has been a huge area of success. I think that law enforcement, in particular, the now two doubled detective teams at TPD, they have one of the highest solve rates in the nation. They should be very, very proud of that. And
do you
so
have any idea what kind of percentage that might be?
Yeah, it stretches into the 90s. And I mean, we're talking about, I mean, there are cities our size where they're lucky to hit in the 50% solve rate. And so they're, the solve, you know, the kind of evidence that we're getting is extraordinary. And, you know, Bill, we've talked about this, but, you know, we inherited this extreme backlog of 144 homicides going back to 2017. And then 2020, the year before I arrived, and then 21, you know, throughout, you know, doubled spike in the homicide spike. So I am thrilled to report that by reinstating the homicide panel, running it every single Monday, and I think Dan mentioned it earlier, it really became a think tank. You know, you have all of the homicide prosecutors and all of the homicide detectives in a room. It's an extraordinary exchange of names, nicknames, addresses, license plates, tattoos, right? It's just the intel is flying around. And this week, once again, we are holding steady at 38% down on homicides from that spike in 21.
Really? 38%.
Yeah. It's we outpaced and outperformed almost every city our size across the country, and everyone working in homicide needs to be very, very proud of that.
One of the marquee issues that your opponents brought up in this very nasty, seemed like it went on forever. I mean, it was every day in the Arizona Daily Star. There could be three or four different op-ed pieces, and there could be like half a dozen letters to the editor, but it made it sound like people didn't want to work for you, that people were like leaving your couldn't, you know, get out of your office fast enough.
Well, and part of that is that, you know, look, and we talked about it a lot 3.5 years ago, is that a number of attorneys who had dedicated their career to the prior administration left on their own accord. I didn't fire a single one of them. They were free to leave. They were not detained. And we wished them well. And so part of the narrative was that was the last time my opponent had lived in the country, right? So those were like the last events when he left the country to
Before he went to Pakistan.
And that's the narrative that the former administration wanted to stick with. They obviously didn't want to talk about the, you know, what was it, the nine veterans who had left in years past who rejoined me that first year, bringing 117 years of felony trial experience. Frankly, it's the organic, natural thing that needed to occur. Those who had dedicated their philosophies and their work to the tough on crime, war on drugs era, we're not going to be satisfied with all the changes we were wanting to make.
They wouldn't be happy in your particular culture.
No, probably not. And life's too short. We want our people to be happy and healthy. And then, frankly, it opened the door to one of the most extraordinary, diverse, excited workforce that I am so proud to and humbled to work for, quite frankly, to serve them.
Dan, now quickly running out of time, some of your thoughts.
So you were in that uncomfortable position of saying, okay, this tough on crime approach did not work, but the opposite of that to a lot of people was soft on crime, but you are saying, no, that is not the case. It's just that you're approaching people in a different way. You're approaching cases in a different way. Is that accurate?
Well, it's smart on crime, right? I mean, nobody wants... No one is out there selling soft on crime. That's a narrative that just doesn't exist in reality anywhere. No one wants that. What we want is smart on crime. Because look, we are talking about very limited resources. Let's put a fine point on it. In 2019, the former administration had 88 prosecutors. I walked in with 61 in 2021. That's what I'm budgeted for. We are talking about limited precious resources, and those are the facts. And so you sure as heck better be real smart about every dollar. And so in 2019, when they were spending two-thirds of those felony cases on simple drug possession or even paraphernalia, I can't even afford that if I wanted to, right? And we don't want to, because that's a huge waste of taxpayer money. We need to be focused on actually prosecuting crime, victim crime, violent crime, and harm to small businesses and neighborhoods. It absolutely includes felony property crime, of which we have a ton of.
Restoration from marijuana convictions, is that moving forward?
Absolutely. And it also includes now the new Arizona sealing law about sealing your old papers after a certain amount of time, a long time. You can come in and get your record sealed. And I'll mention again, October 21, the Fresh Start Expo at TCC. I think I've got the date right. I'm sure we're going to look at a calendar. Saturday, October 21. And right, thumbs up. It's the 19th. See, this is why I turned to, okay.
No, that's why you brought
19. Dr. Holt, right? Dr. Holt right now is somewhere shaking his fist at me. October 19. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. Saturday, October 19. All morning at the TCC. It's an employment expo. And then we've all services that you might need. And then upstairs is a full courthouse. Informal.
You're kidding.
No, the judges are wearing jeans. We're wearing jeans. Judges from every single court, so that you can feel brave and confident enough to come in and make things right.
Do you want to say some final words to your supporters who supported you, came out with your margin of victory was 2-1.
And that was not predicted. No one was predicting that, except for I dare say Alex Kack. It's noon, so I can. It's the noon hour, so I can. You know, Alex Kack, my incredible campaign manager. He gamed this out from the beginning. He knew we were going to be outspent. We were like outraised and then very much outspent, at least 2-1. He saw it all coming. He saw the dark money super PAC coming from out of town. He knew what it would look like in the Star. And a mountain of volunteers came out and knocked on doors and talked to real life human beings about what they actually want from their criminal justice system in the county. And I'm humbled all over again. I have 4.5 years ahead of me. We're going to do everything possible to make this, to do our part, to make this the happiest and healthiest community we can. And that includes reaching out across the aisle and listening to whoever will sit down with me.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Good to see you, Laura Conover.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you, Dan.
And again, I'm so sorry about your mother and her passing. All right, Dan's going to stick around. We'll talk for a few minutes after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer with me in studio, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, did you have any final thoughts on the interview with Laura Conover?
Well, it's interesting. At the end, she brought up this opportunity to have your records sealed, and journalism has actually been doing something like that, too. So, okay, so you can have your criminal records or your records sealed, and no one can get in there and see what you did maybe in a moment of stupid 12 years ago. But a lot of that, if it made the newspapers or social media, it is out there. And so we developed about 3 years ago something called Clean Slate. And this is an opportunity for you to make your case to say, look, you know what, at some point, the public's right to know intersects with my right to privacy. And really, is it a news event anymore? Mm-hmm. So now if you are a child predator, anything like that, we're keeping the story up because they reoffend so often. Yeah. But we have had many cases where we said, yeah, you know what, you were dumb 10 years ago. Uh-huh. And we look at your record since and we will completely remove the story. Uh-huh. Now, it's always in our print editions in our archive, which in the olden days.
Oh, sure. Oh, I remember.
Yeah. But people have to really go search for it. But the internet, unfortunately, does not allow people to get away from their past. And so we have decided there are some cases where they should be able to do that.
What's going on with the treasure of the county just to the south of us here, Santa Cruz County, which people up in the Tucson area really don't follow the news down there?
Well, Santa Cruz County is the poorest in of our 15 counties in Arizona, and the county treasurer, Liz Gutfahr, is accused but not charged, I want to be very clear, with swiping about $40 million.
What?
And the bulk of it is from the schools, and then we have a breakdown of where it is, but this would have happened over roughly a dozen years.
$40 million?
And so there are suggestions that she was paying certain people off, that she knew that the state would come in and audit during certain months, so all the books are really good there.
Yeah.
But back last spring, a bank noticed some things that just weren't quite adding up, and that kind of got the ball rolling. And so now, again, she has not been charged yet, but there's story after story after story coming out. They have taken all of her assets, her cattle, her ranches, her, you know, all this stuff that someone who is a county treasurer, frankly, should not have been able to afford.
Yeah.
And her, you know, vehicles.
She's still
and everything.
In the position of treasurer?
Obviously, they dumped her, and she's been spending a lot of time in court. Again, make it clear, not been charged yet, but they're just building the case, and they got a pretty good one.
And there was an incident where the microphones, it was a closed...
It's executive session. In an executive session, they're allowed to, a public body's allowed to go into executive session where they close the door, public not allowed in. Yeah. And if you're part of that executive session and you talk to anybody about what happened in there, you can go to jail. And so what happened was someone hit the wrong button and broadcast the entire executive session. Up to that point, they had been telling us that it was about 3 to 4 million that was missing. In the exec session, we find out it's 39 to 40 million that is missing. And I don't know how we would have found it otherwise, because I don't think anybody would have been talking about it. But so we just took a lot of notes, and for 2.5 hours, it was broadcast to the world there, as it shouldn't have been. But that's how we, as the media, got onto it. And this is, as you point out, it's a national story, and it's a big one. Taking this much money in the poorest county in the state is very notable.
But you say she has not been charged. Is there like an investigation? Where will if charges are brought down, where will they come from?
Well, that's a good question. FBI is involved. Everyone is involved in this because of, where the money might have been spent and where...
Federal education funds.
Correctly. Right now they're trying to serve her son, who may have also been involved. Her husband may have been involved. And they're having a hard time finding the son. But when they do, he'll be served also, because they think that he certainly knew and was using some of the money. And we'll see what happens. But you want to have a really good court case.
Yeah.
And so they're building it right now. And I don't think she'll disappear. I hope not. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
All right. Dan Scheer, always a pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Another Dan waiting in the wings. Dan Gibson has Weekend Watch right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
It is time for Weekend Watch, time to stir it up. And now let's go, after I talk about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where the weather is always delightful, especially this time of year. Look at that, 79 degrees. I can feel the cool air right now and that kind of late summer, early autumn. As we transition into the autumn, my favorite time of year. What a great time to be over in southwest New Mexico. Their website for Silver City in Grant County, and I strongly suggest check it out before you make that trip. It's only about a three-hour drive, southwestnewmexico.org. Tons of stuff to do, a lot of outdoor activities, and all sorts of fun activities await you in Silver City. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Anything going on in Silver City music-wise? Were you able to check out anything this time around, or I'm kind of putting you on the spot there?
I did not have a Silver City music update, but rest assured, there's always a calendar of live music, often during the middle of the week, but every weekend, some exciting music happening in Silver City.
You
go out there, you're going to have a great time.
You will have a good time, and you'll have a good time here in Tucson, I'm sure, after listening to you with some activities.
Well, you know what? It's Sonoran Restaurant Week. It was an idea that I worked on a little bit when I was at Visit Tucson, but it's in the capable hands of Shane over at Tucson Foodie now. He's done a great job with an amazing lineup. It starts today, September 6th, runs all the way through September 15th. A nice aspect this year is that there are all these special dinners that you can be a part of. Charo's Steak is having one on the 7th, Dante's Fire on the 8th, nationally renowned restaurant Bada on the 9th, Feast on September 10th, goes all the way through the end of the Sonoran Restaurant Week. At the Coronet is the Sonoran Restaurant Week closing dinner on the 15th. These special dinners, all you have to do is make reservations, and they're having, you know, something a little bit different. But also, the entire week, there are options all over town at basically every price point. Meals that are $15 up to, let's say, the full menu at PY Steakhouse, which is $55. It's a really great opportunity in sort of a tough time of year for restaurants to experience a lot of different food, try something new, go back to a classic favorite. Speaking of the PY Steakhouse one, they have their $55 menu includes a prickly pear cured salmon first course,
ooh,
a prosciutto wrapped pork tenderloin for the second course, closing out with a frozen prickly pear sorbet. And if you haven't been out to PY Steakhouse, they do a spectacular job of their meals. Places like the Pin and Flower Eatery, which I have not tried yet, which is in the hotel, like I should be remembered, the Eddie Hotel at River and Campbell. They have a $35 menu that has a asparagus and burrata first course, a choice of a pan-seared salmon or a calabacitas dish with calabacitas, or an Angus hanger steak with garlic fingerling potatoes, closing that out with a chocolate hazelnut tort with a berry sauce.
Oh, making
really,
me hungry here.
You go to TucsonFoodie.com, you have plenty, plenty, plenty of options. No matter where you're at in town, there's something basically everywhere.
Oh, sounds great. How about some non-food activities?
There is no non-food activity. No. If you know me at all, you know I love my miniatures. And the Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures is having a show called Stages of Imagination. It's the iconic Broadway designs of David Koresh. David Koresh has won Emmys and 3 Tony Awards for designing shows such as Hamilton and the Immersive Van Gogh exhibition, which was here in the Oro Valley. The exhibition is all the miniature scale models he uses to put together his work. So you can see Hamilton sort of come to life from imagination to what it looks like on the stage. They're open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day. TheMiniTimeMachine.org, right there on Camp Lowell Drive.
Yeah, it's a fun place and very convenient location, and check it out. I'll take one more, Dan Gibson, if you've got it.
All right. Everyone enjoys a rock band that is also a giant chorus. And the Polyphonic Spree is coming up on Thursday, September 12th. They were formed in Dallas out of the ashes of the band Tripping Daisy. But it depends on the show, but often 20 to 30 people on stage, choir, flute, trumpet, trombone, the whole bit. They're playing the Rialto Theater on September 12th. Tickets start at $25. Show begins at 8 p.m.
Sounds good, Dan. I hope you have a terrific weekend. Thank you very much.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot. Dan Gibson, host of Weekend Watch, which is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. The Labor Day week of the Buckmaster Show, which is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and our engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media Tucson, Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, wishing everybody a great weekend.